Well, I hope you did well on your exam. It was the first of this year, and my tests, like I said, are not designed to flunk you, but mostly to rehearse what we've been through these last 4 weeks. I believe you all did good. I haven't got a chance to look at them yet, but I pray you did good. Like I said, we're not trying to fail you, but we just want to get this information into you. We're going to start another lesson, lesson 5. If you're following along in your book, you can look at the session. I got my outline probably different from the book, so you might not be word for word. But it's dealing with obedience to God's will is the greatest demand of the Bible. What I said, obedience to God's will is the greatest demand of the Bible. Well, that statement, it serves to be explained a little bit. The greatest of God's demand on man is not for him to bear the cross, to serve, to make offering, or deny himself. Now, in itself, each one of these things are good and accurate, and these things we should do. Number one, we should bear the cross. What do you mean bear the cross? We should bear the responsibility of the assignment that God given us to proclaim his gospel to every creature. Bearing the cross is bearing the works of Christ, following after him and doing his work and those things we should do. Secondly, is serving, and we should serve. We should serve God, love the Lord with all thy God, and also serve the Lord. When you say serve the Lord, we're not talking about religious type of serving, but doing his will is serving God to me. Whatever he says unto us, do it. Make offering, and we should make offering. We should tithe, give offering, and there's other types of offering that we give besides money, but you can offer yourselves and even sacrifice. But deny him oneself. You should deny. Well, my point is, all these things are good and right that God wants us to do, but we're going to find out that his greatest demand, which is my point too, the greatest demand on man is for him to obey. Now, I have to learn that. I have to learn that because religiously, we've been taught different. But apostolically, we're learning that it is the highest demand of God to the church, to the believer, to his servant, is to obey. God ordered Saul to attack the Amalekites and destroy them utterly. This is one of our first examples that we're going to get to. So if you will, turn your Bible with me to 1 Samuel 15 in your Bible, and we're going to look at some things here concerning Saul and the assignment that God gave him. Remember, there are going to be many, many opportunities to do the will of God in your life. And we have to always remember that when God tells us or instructs us to do something, that it has to be according to his will. If it's not according to his will, then if we're going to learn lessons down the line, it's going to be considered strange fire. And we're going to explain that more as we go. I'm not going to get into the strange fire, but we're going to find out that a couple of guys offered these things before God. I want to begin reading that verse 1. We're going to catch up. So we're going to get to this 22nd verse. Might do quite a bit of reading today, class. But this 22nd verse is the one we want to get to. The one that says obedience is better than sacrifice. And then they're going to bring us to speed on more of what we're trying to accomplish in this class, is to let you know that obedience is the number one thing in God's mind. All right? A lot of other things we can do, class. A lot of other works. A lot of other self works and things that we can do. But we're going to find out that none of it is amount to anything if it's not obedient according to God's will. Are you with me, class? Now, first verse, 15th chapter of 1 Samuel, says, Samuel also said unto Saul, I can see a lot of stuff in here, but I'm for sake of time, I'm going to not try to get too involved with the scriptures in this particular. Well, let me say this. I can't pass it. And Samuel also said unto Saul, well, who was Saul? This was King Saul. He was the first king that God gave to the children of Israel. They wanted a king because all the other countries, all the other kingdoms had kings. They wanted one too. God gave it to them. And if you read your Bible prior to that, he told them all the things were going to happen if they get a king. But they wanted it anyway, so he got one. And so Samuel said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people and over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Well, my point that I want to really bring out is that God gives assignment, and it doesn't always come directly from God. That goes further than our religious belief and our religious ways of doing things. In the religious way of doing things, we thought we can hear directly from God, and we began to do what we believe God told us to do. And in somewhere down the road, we got in error because we missed God to some degree. Because we thought we'd get instruction directly from God, even with a calling. But it's apostolic government that God has for the church. It brings new insight to what God really wants for his people and for his church. So God puts Samuel, the prophet, over the king. He anointed him, and God appointed Samuel to give instruction to Saul, and Saul was under a spiritual government. You see it? But this system here, this culture here turned around, and then the spiritual is under the earthly government, seems to say. Look like the earthly government is ruling the spiritual government. Well, God is turning these things around and bringing the spiritual government back in charge of government. And the government should be upon his shoulders. That's Isaiah. I think the 9th chapter of Isaiah. And then Samuel said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee. Now, let's look at that second verse. Thus said the Lord of hosts. Now, the prophet Samuel is about to give some instructions here. I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not. But slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox, sheep, camel, ass. And notice how detailed these instructions are that God is giving Samuel to give to Saul, because God is a detailed God. And God has certain ways and certain reasons why he will permit or give certain instructions, and why this should be followed directly, as he says so. sometimes we take God's instruction. We're going to see Samuel and Saul going to do this very, very thing that men do today. Take God's instruction and change those instructions to fit their own ideas, their own ways of doing things. And that's never been God's intention for us to do things our own way. Then we're benefiting ourselves rather than benefiting God. All that God called us to do should benefit him and his kingdom and his work, never to really benefit us. We might receive some of the benefits from it, but the whole plan of God is to get the will of his will done upon the earth. Now, we're going to see Saul going to change some of these instructions. Don't change instruction. Now there's those in leadership position, but that's also those that are serving under leadership. I've been serving under leadership for a long time, and I've learned through the years that when apostle was giving me an assignment, and he still does, give me an assignment, my desire has always been to carry out those instructions as accurate and precisely as I can, not trying to put my own ideas and my own input into it. You see it? Because instructions are for a reason. And unless you know the whole picture or the whole vision, then you can get in trouble trying to alter instruction. Please don't alter your instruction from your spiritual leader. They give those instructions for a reason. And they're to be followed. And one thing I learned about apostle over the years, and you probably can say the same thing about your spiritual leader. One thing is that when he give instruction, and if he doesn't change it, it's supposed to continue. Sometimes people allow, I know I'm saying a lot, but it goes with my lesson. Sometimes people allow because of maybe your spiritual leader might not come back and tell you anything different, and they let I call the ball drop. Drop the ball on things because you hadn't been hearing from him or her in specific instruction, but he never changed the last one he gave. I find that out about God. You know, sometimes, you know, we're always trying to hear something new from God, what he wants us to do, but you're supposed to keep doing the last instruction he gave you. Sometimes we quit doing those last things. What the last thing God told you to do? And that's what you should be doing. You see it? And always remember that. And that served me well over the years because it made me consistent in whatever I did. And I trained myself a certain way to be consistent. Now, I know I'm getting off a little bit, but it's good because some of these things need to be said and explained in following leadership. Now, fourth verse said, and Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait on the valley. Excuse me. And Saul said also unto the Kenite, go, depart you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites, which was a good thing. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest unto Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekite, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. And Saul and the people spared Agag. Are you with me, Claire? You follow me? Saul and Agag spared, Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, excuse me, the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatling and of the lamb and all that was good and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refused, that they destroyed utterly. You see, what they did, they kept the good and destroyed the bad. But that's not what God instructed them. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he had turned back from following me and had not performed the commandments, and it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. You see this? See this, Clap? You see what's happening here? I've come to understanding that Samuel was grieved because Saul did not obey God's instruction properly and precisely and accurately, and it grieved Samuel. And so I came to understanding, class, over the years, that whenever my spiritual leader become grieved, it's an indication that God is grieved. Their character is emanates from the character of God when your spiritual leaders are following God. If your spiritual leader gets vexed, most likely your Heavenly Father is vexed. And so I watched my spiritual leader, how they respond. And so I said, well, God must be upset. God must be vexed. God must not be satisfied, you know, with the way things are being done, you know. And so I can tell by the reaction of my spiritual leader. That's when you're following properly. Now, Saul will not devote them to destruction. He ordered that these were spared to sacrifice to God. But Samuel said to him, behold, obedience is better than sacrifice. You see, that's the 22nd verse. So I did some skipping on down because it's so much to say in so little time. Samuel said, had the Lord as great, 22nd verse, had the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of ram. Well, I can't go through everything, Claire. Excuse me. The hearken than the fat of ram. The sacrifice, this is my point five here in my note. The sacrifice mentioned here was sweet savior offering having nothing to do with sin. For sin offering was never called, give me class, I'm just getting myself together here. The sacrifice mentioned here was sweet savior offering having nothing to do with sin. For sin offering was never called an offering of sweet savior. They were offered for God's acceptance and satisfaction. So what's being said here, Claire, those offering that Saul was supposed to offer, what called himself offering, was supposed to be offering that was pleasing to God. And so that was his excuse for making those offerings. But if God didn't call a sacrifice, I don't think that should be a sacrifice call. So Saul has some self-will involved in this. Now, why does Samuel say that obedience is better than sacrifice? That sound like a good test question, huh, Claire? Yeah, here's why. Because even in sacrifice, there can be an element of self-will. Everybody say self-will. Self-will is a dangerous word. Matter of fact, that's the same self-will we talked about in our previous chapter dealing with Satan. Satan became self-will. Remember in the book of Ezekiel and Isaiah, when he was talking about, I will set my throne above the throne of God. Well, that became what we call self-will. It's the principle and the satanic principle that destroy one's ability to serve God properly. So he entered into the principle of self-will. Obedience alone, listen to this now. Obedience alone is absolute honoring to God. For it alone take God's will as its center. Obedience alone. It take God's will at its center. And whenever we functioning, God's will should be the center of our serving. What I say, class? God's will should always be the center of our serving and not our own self-will. And this, I think this is a wonderful lesson here because it shows how Samuel did not obey God, even though he thought he was obeying God. And that's the strangest thing that you can ever experience in your life, is to think you're fulfilling the will of God and you're not. To think that you're obeying God and you're not. That's why it's so dangerous to get out there and doing something you think God called you to do, but you don't know if you're in his direct will or not. And you think you're doing the will of God. You think you're doing. See, I find out that every good thing is not a God thing. If God didn't call it, then you're in error, and God is not glorified, and God is not satisfied. He wasn't satisfied with Samuel's offering, with Saul's offering. So obedience alone is absolute. It's absolutely honoring to God, for it alone takes God's will as its center. For authority to be expressed, there must be subjection. What I said? For authority to be expressed, there must be subjection. If there is to be subjection, what I'm going to say, Claire, self needs to be excluded. That's the only way you can submit to God, is when yourself is totally excluded out of the equation. And I like what Brother Nee said, but according to one's self-life, subjection is not possible. It's impossible to subject. It's impossible to be subject to God's will when you still got your self-life in the way. What you mean? My life and doing what you want to do in your own life. And your will is standing out front more than anything else. So subjection to God's authority is only possible when one lived in the Spirit. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to say that again. Subjection to God's authority is only possible when one lives in the Spirit. Is the highest expression of God's will. We need to remember this statement here, because the only way it's possible if you live in the Spirit. And how you live in the Spirit? You spend time with God. Spend time with God and spend time in his word. Don't make no move until you know that what God wants you to do. And I think everything should be confirmed by God. And if by your spiritual leader, whom God have put you under or put over you unto the Lord. Now, I'm going back to the scripture a little bit, because there's some things here that Saul had to be dealt with as an individual. And sometimes we got to be dealt with on an individual basis. And so there have to be some deliverance before you can be free in certain areas. Now, Saul was approached by Samuel, and Samuel, in essence, had to deal with Saul. He had to deal with Saul, and yet Saul was king, and it wasn't a good taste in Saul's, a good taste in Samuel's mouth to have to correct Saul. And in turn, Saul didn't like to be corrected himself. So what am I saying? The one who's doing the correcting is not an enjoyable thing to them. Sometimes people think that authority love to make correction. Authority rather not make correction. But also in the same turn, the one who's being corrected don't like to be corrected. And so on both sides of the line, there is difficulty in doing these things in the natural. But in the spirit, you have to make these adjustments. Even though as hard as it may be for a spiritual leader, you might not see it on him. He might have a strong front, or she may have a strong front making the correction. But in their heart, it's not an enjoyable thing to correct God's people. No. Just like a parent, you tell me what parent love whipping their children. If you parent, you know. You know, I hear some people say, well, they're going to hurt me more than they hurt you. I say, I doubt that seriously. But war until a child if the rod is being spared. Spare the rod, spoil the child. I believe in disciplining children. I believe in the rod. Sometimes people have gotten away. We've got so smart now, smarter than God, that we refuse to correct our children. No. It don't hurt to correct them. It don't hurt to put the rod on them. Yeah, you spare the rod and you spoil the child. And the scripture says that. So sometimes, you know, my whole point is you don't enjoy it. Just like God don't enjoy correcting us, but woe to us if we're not corrected. Thank God for correction. And so we're about to look at Saul being corrected by Samuel over here. If you're back in your Bible, look at that 14th verse, and we're going to begin to see what happened with Saul and Samuel here. Now, there's a confrontation being made here. Now, God is letting us peep and look into how he does things. You get a view of what God is about to do so we can see how this thing is done sometime. Sometimes, you know, we need to do what God do. And Samuel said, well, let's back up to the 13th. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul came to Saul, and Saul said unto Samuel, or unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandments of the Lord. Yeah, he may have defeated the Amalekites, but and it may look good outwardly, but there was some details that he left out, some very important details that God wanted him to carry out that he didn't. It looked good surface wise, but the details were wrong. Sometimes what you do look good. Hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Surface-wise, on the surface, it looks like it's good. But the details get left off sometimes. And God is a detailed God. And God want to deal with these things because it's important to his will that these things are being done. And now the 14th verse. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul trying to make some excuse. Saul trying to defend the bleating of the sheep in his ear, the baying of the sheep, you see it? And the lowing of the cows, you see it? You hear all these animals still making noise, and it shouldn't be nothing. It shouldn't be no cry from no beast or no animal or no person. Because if I read the scripture right, Samuel told Saul that God wanted to utterly destroy everything they had. He gave him this detailed list. And far he concerned, he shouldn't hear nothing. Well, what mean this the lowing of the cows and the bleating of the sheep, the baying of the sheep that I hear in my ear? And Saul said, everybody said, and Saul said. You know, you can come up with an excuse for anything. But the whole point, obedience is better than what's this sacrifice that Saul making excuse that he about to sacrifice these things unto the Lord. But obedience is better than that. You see, God don't want your sacrifice if he didn't act for it. Right here, Samuel is fixing to tell Saul, Saul not even concerned about your sacrifice because that's your sacrifice. That's self-will sacrifice. That's something you want to do for your own purpose. For your own, here's that word now. You see, sometimes people do things, but their motives are wrong. Make sure your motives are always right when you're serving God. You see, you do the right thing, but the wrong motive. God had to deal with Samuel, with Saul, because his motive was wrong. Hope your motive's not wrong for serving your leader. Sometimes, I'm about to jump off another little thing right now. Sometimes people join ministry and try to use it for a leaping board, you know, to jumpstart their ministry. They join a ministry to jumpstart their ministry, and they look good. They're serving, they're doing all kinds of things, but the whole idea is not so much to fulfill the vision. Because to fulfill the vision, you have to be stable. You have to be connected. You have to be in for the long haul to fulfill the vision. But if you just jump on the wagon just to get what you want out of it, your motive wrong. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Further down the line, we might be able to deal with what I'm saying now. I'll say more as we go, but your motive got to be right. Saul did the right thing, but his motive was wrong. He wanted to make himself look good. God didn't want no sacrifice. God wanted what? Obedience. God wants his will done. Understand me, class. Understand me. God always looking for his will done so he can accomplish what he wants to do. God had a reason. God had the purpose for everything he ordered you to do. It had nothing to do with you. It's all about his will. Now, we might receive benefits from doing what God say do, but you have to make sure you line up with the will of God. And that's what most people don't understand. That's why you got to be called to serve. And that's why you got to make sure you're in line with what God wants. Excuse me. Excuse me. This change of weather. Excuse me, class. This change of weather. It just messed with your sinuses and everything. And excuse me. All right. And the 15th verse. And Saul said, they have brought them. Who is they? You see, who is they? See, God didn't call they. God calls Saul. When they come into play, that means you being controlled by another force, another people, another reason, something other than what God told you to do. And they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. The people, and when you're in authority, the people shouldn't do or should do only what you allow them to do. Saul allowed the people to do this because it was his, for his sake, for his motivation. And sometimes if you don't watch it, people have you doing things you don't want to do and make them think that's your plan. And you don't recognize you, and you forget what God told you to do, because sometimes people blindside you. I don't know if you know what that means. Blindside. My meaning of that is to have you doing something in the blind, and you don't know what they're doing to you, and they deceive you and keep you from doing what God wants to do. But at the same time, they think they're promoting you. What I'm saying is, don't let people rule you. Don't let people rule you. And sacrifice to the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Well, God said, utterly destroy everything. Everything that's not right. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel went on to say, when thou was little in thy own sight, wert thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee to be king over Israel? He said, remember when you were small, you know what I'm saying? Before you thought yourself too much of yourself, how God was able to use you. But now you think you're bigger than God. And so you now you got so much knowledge. Now watch what I'm saying. Now you got so much understanding. Now you got so much wisdom. You don't need God to make decisions for you. You do it the way I'm smarter than God. Now I can do it because I think God would like this. I think this is what God might want. I think this is what God prefer. No. God prefer his will to be done. And so my whole point, class, I'm gonna read this statement again. And I can't go no further here. But I think we got the bulk of what we're trying to address in this class here. And this last statement here in my notes here. Subjection to God's authority is only possible when one lives in the spirit. See, but when you pull over out in the flesh, you're going to do some things that's contrary to what God wants. And God's will cannot be obeyed in the flesh. It has to be done in the spirit. So it is the highest obedience to God's will is the highest expression that you can give God. Class, this is a wonderful subject here, and there's much more to be said. And I understand that you can't say everything in one class, but I think we got our point out. And so study this. look at it. Go over these points I gave you. Understand the point we were trying to get. And let me say this last statement here. Obedience to God's will is the greatest demand, not only of the Bible, but of God himself. So class, you've been a good class. You're listening well. And I'll see you next week. All right, perfect timing, man.